Hey, this is Tim Ripper Owens from KK's Priest, and yes, you are listening to Pomiscavel, the podcast of powermetal.de. Let's rock.
Dear listeners, it's 1 a.m. German time, but for you and my today's guest, I don't mind. I've been fighting for a long time to have one of the best metal singers of the last 25 years right now on the podcast, and he kept Judas Priest alive. He sung with Iced Earth, is on the road solo, and has given so many songs that surge an extra with his distinctive, powerful voice. I still listen to albums like Demolition, The Glorious Burden, or your solo records, and with pleasure. And I can remember the jubilation when he was confirmed as singer for KK's Priest, the new band of former Judas Priest guitarist KK Downing. So back to roots, I would like to say. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, the Ripper, Tim Owens. Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you, Frank? It's good to be here. You built me up pretty high there, so I've got a lot to live up to on this interview.
Thank you very much. I'm very fine, too. Thank you. I think you are in Australia right now, so what are you doing there?
Vacation. I'm on a vacation. A little bit of work. I'm doing some recording and obviously press, and my girlfriend lives here, so I'm just kind of chilling and doing my stuff here.
And I hope you have better weather than we are in Germany.
It's nice weather. It's a little chilly, but it's been really nice.
So September is calling, and September hails epic anthems, heavy metal guitar riffs, high screams, and a nostalgic goosebump for me. 2 years after the fantastic Sermons of the Sinner album, KK's Priest returns with the new mighty thunderclap. And I've listened in advance to The Sinner Rides Again, and I'm very impressed with the strength of the album, not least because of your vocal performance. I've not heard your voice so varied and powerful before. But before we will talk about the upcoming record, I have some basic questions regarding KK's Priest. So, Tim, can you describe your feelings when KK asked you to join KK's Priest as a singer?
Well, I was excited. I was especially excited when I heard the songs from Sermons of the Sinner, when he played me the demo recordings. But, you know, Ken and I have always gotten along so well. We've always been friends. And it's always been such a comfortable feeling standing next to him on stage. So it was really nice. I was really excited to start working on it. You know, it's just been it's been really great.
Like I said, you have a very powerful voice. And how you keep your voice fit during the corona pandemic?
I probably should have used the corona pandemic to rest my voice for a change, because I never rest it very often. I'm always on tour, solo tour, or Three Tremors tour, and I had to make a living. So I started doing a lot of guest appearances on bands' records. I recorded a Three Tremors record. I recorded a couple records for a band called Pyramid, Spirits of Fire, A New Revenge. So I was actually busy, but I did a lot of appearances on people's records. So it was really cool, because I was able to sing all kinds of different styles. So like I said, in hindsight, I probably should have taken that time to just shut my voice down and not even talk or sing, but that's not going to pay the bills. So, but I think the studio work was good for my voice. I think it was nice to get in the studio and just take my time on stuff.
And I can imagine that working with KK was like a homecoming feeling for you, wasn't it?
It was, you know, and it's been a while since when we did Sermons of the Sinner, I went to Ken's and went into the studio and did it. It's been a while since I went into a studio. I think the last studio record I did one called Engineered Society Project. And I went into a studio in LA, but usually I record my vocals at home. And it was just great to go into the studio with Ken. And, you know, it's nice to record it in England, because you can have a cup of tea in between takes. So it's kind of nice, you know.
It's good for your voice.
It's fun, you know, because I'm not a big drinker, but there's something exciting about ending the day and having a pint and some Indian food, and just kind of, you know, it just brought me back to the old times of recording with Ken. But, you know, like I said before, it's just great to work with him. You know, he's such a easy guy to work with, and such a nice guy and a great friend. So it was a good time to start doing it again with him.
Were you also in contact before the band was formed?
We were, yeah. You know, out of all the guys in Priest, it's hard to stay in contact with anybody because everybody goes off and does their own things after I left Judas Priest. But Ken and I especially stayed in contact. Anytime I would play solo, like if I was playing Manchester, I played probably three or four times. Once in Birmingham, Ken would come out to the shows. You know, it was a 2-hour drive to Manchester, and he would always come to the shows. And actually, AJ was always with him, our other guitar player. So AJ was always with him, and a couple other friends of Ken's. And he would come out and bring the band a couple cases of beer and say, "Here you go." And the only problem about Ken showing up to the shows is he made the band very nervous, my band. So they were always like, "Oh no, we got to play these songs in front of KK," and they were always, their expression was really funny because they just would turn white and just be like, you know, it was, but he would always come out and we would always talk, and he would say things like, "Well, if you come, let me know earlier and you can bring the tour bus to the house and do your laundry." And, you know, he would just say, "Hang out." And, it was just, you know, again, it was hard to stay in contact with all the guys because we're all doing our own thing. But Ken and I just seem to talk the most.
All right. And like you said, Ken is a very easygoing character. So is this the special thing about Ken? Because you worked with so many musicians, so many characteristics. And yeah, like you said, I can imagine that Ken is a very easygoing guy.
He is, especially with obviously, you know, people would probably think and know, and, you know, him and I are going to get along really well, but he treats everybody great. You know, he treats the crew, he has nothing but great things to say about everybody all the time. I mean, listen, if you fuck up, then he's probably going to say something, but he's just really great to everybody. You know, he's a lot nicer than I am, I'll tell you that much.
Good to know. And yeah, his name is called, his band is called KK's Priest. So was there a band name other than KK's Priest in the room when the band was formed? Because I think, of course, it has the advantage that is unmistakably clear what it's about, KK's Priest. But it also always has to put up with comparisons with Judas Priest.
Well, I think whatever we called the band that was going to have comparisons with Judas Priest, I mean, you have KK Downing, who wrote their songs for 50 years or whatever it was. And, you know, and I was in the band for about 10 years or whatever. And so, but there wasn't, as far as I know, he was working on names of the band on the side. And I know he was talking to the label about it. Because I think when you make a band name in our situation, you have to make it where it can be marketed for shows and be marketed. And I think that was really why that name came up. I don't think it was something I don't know this personally, but I don't think it was something Ken just wrote down and said, "That's it, we're calling it KK's Priest." I think everybody around was like, "This is kind of what I think it should be," you know, because we're not you know, I know a lot of people want it to be called different and they don't like the name, and I understand it, but we have to connect it to something because we're not reinventing the wheel. You know, we have fans and a fan base and people that if we're touring live, if it's called, you know, whatever it could be called. It would have been great if it was called Ripper's Priest. I would have been fine with that. But or, you know, KK and Ripper. But I think one thing people get now is they know it's a band. They've seen the live footage of us playing. They've heard two records and they know it's a band. But I think it just had to be a name that somebody who just saw this, who's coming into town, if it said, "Oh, well, we got Hellfire coming into town." Well, it's still probably going to be called KK's Hellfire. So it's going to be, you know, and I understand why the labels and the booking agents and everybody wanted really was happy with that name, you know. I mean, he could have called it anything he wanted. It's KK Downing. He can pretty much do whatever he wants.
Yeah, it's clear. And like you said, we have two albums. One album, the new one is called The Sinner Writes Again. And like I said, I listened to the album, and on the one hand, the second album I think is more multi-faced and epic. But on the other hand, it's more focused on the songs, and I think it's more clearly what's about. So how do you personally see the difference between Sermons of the Sinner on the one hand and The Sinner Writes Again on the other hand?
Sermons of the Sinner was exactly what we needed to start with. I thought it was a more classic sounding record, even sound wise, production wise. It was a straightforward classic kind of record. It still had a lot of light and shade. It still had some epic songs. But with The Sinner Writes Again, I think it just flows better. I think the songs flow better. Even though the songs have a lot of changes, a lot of layers, they all go together. It just sounds, I mean, every time I listen to this record, I think, you know, it's such a great record. And I think you can tell, like vocally, I did it different this time. The Sermons of the Sinner, I went to Ken's, like I said, I recorded it in the studio. This one I recorded at my house, at my studio, and I was able to sit down, not far different from what we're doing right now. And I would just take my time, and I think it made it heavier vocally and a lot more characters and edgier. So I think the difference is everybody was even more of themselves. I think now he knew what Sean could do on the drums, you know, cause Sean came in last minute, you know, he came in to play on the first record last minute, just came in there and, you know, busted those songs out. But now Ken knows what Sean's about, and AJ put a lot into this record, you know, and Tony is all over on the bass. He's playing that bass everywhere. So I think this record to me is heavier. I love the production on this record. I'm a big fan of bigger productions, heavier guitar sounds, and that's what we wanted on this record. So I think that everything about this record is fantastic.
And also the third single is called Strike of the Viper. And a viper is a very dangerous animal, I think. So personally, are you more of a cat and dog lover or completely addicted to reptiles?
I am not a fan of reptiles whatsoever, just to be honest with you. I mean, I do smile a lot, but I try to have a heavy metal image. And somebody wants to see me cry like a baby, just put a snake in front of me, and that's probably what's going to happen. I'm more of a cat and dog lover, if anything.
Like me. So what do you think is the special thing about a viper, of a dangerous, very dangerous and venomous snake?
The thing about heavy metal and writing songs is you can write them about everything and anything, whether it's normal or vampires or monsters. And writing a song about Strike of the Viper, to be honest, it's great because it could mean anything. You know, you could actually be talking about a viper or not at all. You could be talking about a person or us. The Strike of the Viper could be us, you know, we could be the one striking. So, it could be about the fans. I mean, so that's what's great. But I guess it just shows you. I would say this with Strike of the Viper is the way I look at it is we're striking right now, you know. And I guess if you don't like it, you better get out of our way because here we come. So we're the Strike of the Viper. That's just kind of how I look at it.
Pretty cool. So also pretty cool song is Hymn 66. So is there any connection between Hymn 66 and Route 66, or what is the title behind?
I try to figure it out. The great thing about writing lyrics is you can write them about something. I think with Hymn 66, it's like bow down, you know, it's kind of like if you look at the religious part of Hymn 66, I think we're making our own version of it, and you're going to bow down to Demos or our character, whether his name's the sinner or Demos. That's all throughout the record. That's kind of what it is. You know, you need again, when you write lyrics, you like to write them where everybody can interpret the lyrics a different way. There's going to be people that's going to look at this and go, oh, it's religious. Well, it's really not. It's religious in a heavy metal way. It's kind of how Ronnie Dio wrote lyrics. You know, I mean, to be honest, I know I wouldn't be the guy to write religious lyrics because I know not too much about religion to write them. You know, I would have to go study it to write it. But what this record is, you saw it actually also on the first record. You see it on this one. I think most of them would be interpreted to the fans and us, and music is religion, and the fans is religion. I think that's kind of what it is. So I think with Hymn 66, that's kind of what it is to me.
Okay. And I like very much the ending of the album, Wash Away Your Sins. I think it's perfect ending for such an epic album. So hand on heart, Tim, what was the biggest sin in the rock and metal world for you?
The disappearance of the Jugulator Demolition records?
I have to say that Demolition was the first whole record I have ever listened to Judas Priest. As a young child, I was listening to the title track of Turbo Lover, in the car of my father, and for a long time this was the only song of Judas Priest I've ever heard. And then the Demolition record came, and I've listened to Lost and Found, and it was such a whoa! That's Judas Priest. It's amazing. It was a so beautiful and emotional ballad. And yes, that was the reason, actually, I've bought Demolition, and then I came up to you and Jugulator, and then I imagined that it was another singer of Judas Priest, and it was two singers, Rob Halford and you, and so it was not a usual way to keep up with Judas Priest, but a very beautiful way, I think.
I think it's a good way, you know, I mean, you got to get a little bit of both. So I think it's perfect. I think you're spot on.
And with which main aim or objective you have started the work on the new KK's Priest record?
Well, I think the aim and the objective was to just write the best records you can. I mean, I think when Ken sits down and writes, he's just writing like KK Downing. I don't think he sits down and says, this is the style of, you know, record I'm going to buy. I think he just writes it. It just comes out. He's such an amazing songwriter. And it really shows, you really realize how important he was to Judas Priest for 50 years of his songwriting when you hear these records. I mean, because he's just writing like KK. When people tell me, you know, kind of reminds them of Judas Priest, I said, I think it reminds them of KK Downing, because that's who's writing. And I think you want, the big thing you want to do is you don't want to alienate your fans. You don't want to do something so out there that's so different that, you know, and you don't want to do something, you're not reinventing the wheel, you're not making something new, but you want to make something that your fans will love, but it's also still kind of fresh and that other people will love as well. Like you can, you know, bring in some young fans and different people. I think you just want to make sure you make the fans, as many as you can, of the heavy metal world happy, right? You want the metal fans to be happy. You go, this stuff is great. So I think that's what you go. Listen, you go into everything, live performances, whatever. Same with you making a podcast. You go into it to make it the best podcast you can, every podcast you do. I can tell you're well prepared. You've prepared for it. You studied. It's what you do with, as a musician. I mean, you should be. That's what we do.
And to keep up the fresh wind into the scene, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Fresh wind. You've done some live shows, actually. The first live shows of KK's Priest. And what I heard, the gigs were very celebrated. Can you describe me your feelings when you played the old Priest songs on stage with Ken, with KK's Priest for the first time?
That was great. I always loved playing Priest songs, especially from my era. I wish we would do more. I think the most exciting Judas Priest song for me to play was Burn in Hell from Jugulator. It's always fun doing, you know, classics like Beyond the Realms of Death and Victim of Changes. But to be honest, I think we were more excited, all of us, about playing the KK's Priest songs. You know, we couldn't wait to get up there and play. I mean, One More Shot at Glory. I love One More Shot at Glory.
Oh, yeah.
I love singing. You know, it's one of my favorites. So I think, you know, or singing, watching people's reaction when I sing Sermons of the Sinner, pretty much how it's sung on the record, which is pretty tough, but I really try to sing that song. I think that was it. But it's always fun singing the Priest songs. You know, one song I've never sung before, and I actually didn't even want to do it, was Hell Patrol. And it's fun to do it. There's one reason why I like doing most of the classic Priest songs is they're actually easier to sing than the KK's Priest songs. So it gives me a little bit of a break to sing Green Manalishi or Hell Patrol or Beyond the Realms of Death or Victim. But there's something about the clap, like Victim of Changes. I auditioned for Judas Priest singing Victim of Changes, so it means a lot to me. So, and I love to get to the end of the song and hit the high note really long. But I love singing the Priest songs, but I definitely love singing the KK's Priest songs more.
And how was the selection of the songs?
Well, that was a tough one. You know, I'll tell you, people want more. The biggest thing I see is people want more of my era Judas Priest songs in the set list. You talk about Demolition. One-on-One should be in the set list without a doubt.
But Machine Man.
Yes, absolutely. But what we had to make was a set list that was good for festivals, right? We were playing a lot of festivals. So Ken had to put together a set list that was going to make everybody happy. If it's our own show, like when we play the UK tour, I'm going to guess we played six KK's Priest songs. We're probably going to put two more in at least. So we'll have, you know, eight songs. By the time we start touring more, we'll probably have 10 songs. But it's hard to make a set list, you know, and when I only saw Burn in Hell on the set list, I said, why are we only doing one from my era? And then he explained it to me, and I got it. I understood it. I'm like, okay, yeah, I get that.
And hopefully you will come to Germany, and hopefully you will play Raise Your Fists. It was one of my most favorite songs in the last 2 years, I think, and such a great, powerful song, and headbanging part, and your voice. It's an amazing representative song for KK's Priest.
We have been playing it, and we will play it. Definitely, we definitely want to come to Germany. I can't wait to get back to Germany, and we'll definitely play Raise Your Fist. You know, we've been ending the set with Raise Your Fist. We've been ending the night, cool. And I got to tell you, thing, Frank, it's the toughest song that I sing on the set list.
Why?
Because the way we wrote it and the way I sing, I always take myself to the limit with songs. So it's up there in your natural voice, and it just keeps kind of going along, and there's nowhere to breathe. And I'm like, this, and it doesn't sound like it. I say to the guys, of course, the toughest song we do for me is the last song of the night. But yeah, Raise Your Fist. I'll tell you what, Frank, these KK's Priest songs at these festivals have went over so good. It's like the crowd singing, you know, Raise Your Fist, and they're singing, you know, Brothers of the Road and Hellfire, and the crowd's going, it's right at a festival, not even our shows. So we'll be bringing that to Germany hopefully soon.
Cool. And I'm looking forward for this powerful shows.
Yes.
So, Tim, is there anything you want to say about The Sinner Rides Again, your new record?
Well, it's a great record. We have the videos out there to check out. You know, Strike of the Viper, which was just released, Reap the Whirlwind, and One More Shot at Glory. They're on YouTube, so go check out the videos. Pre-order the record. Comes out the end of September. And let's get KK's Priest to Germany. TKO is our agent, and let's get KK's Priest to Germany.
Hopefully. So, Tim, I have two last questions, and I hope it's okay to ask you, but one of my most favorite movies of all time is actually Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg. So what is your opinion about this movie?
Well, it was great, Mark Wahlberg. I mean, it's loosely based on me. Obviously, everybody knows that. But
that's the reason I told you the question.
Yeah, it's the only time in my life that I had abs in my stomach, so I kind of liked it. No, you know, it's to me, it wasn't a very good movie, and you know, I know people love it. I didn't care for this music or the movie, but it was an honor that they wanted to make a movie. I wish we would have been involved with it and had more say, and then made some money from doing the movie. But it's pretty cool because Warner Brothers called my parents' house and said, you know, they want to make a movie. And so it was really cool that that they wanted to do that. So it's pretty much an honor that someone wants to loosely base a movie about me.
Pretty cool. So, Tim, it was a big pleasure for me to have you on the podcast show. Like I said in the beginning, the very last question, what is your most favorite song at this moment?
I think my favorite song at the moment is One More Shot at Glory. I mean, I do love Strike of the Viper a lot, but I would say that I'll answer this in two ways. My favorite song that people have heard is One More Shot at Glory. I think my absolutely favorite song at the moment right now is Wash Away Your Sins.
Pretty cool, pretty cool. So my favorite song at this moment right now is Machine Man from the Demolition record of Judas Priest. And like I said, Tim, it was a very big pleasure for me to have you on the show. Thank you so much. And dear listeners, hopefully you like the show. And Tim and I wish you all the best. Take care of you and have a nice day. Goodbye.
Goodbye.